18 is a special chapter devoted to Yom Kippur, devoted to the Day of Atonement. And it concerns these two mysterious goats, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. We're going to look at this and how it applies to us today on Yom Kippur. How can two goats from thousands of years ago apply to you and I today in 2023 in America? I don't think I've ever seen a goat in person. Has anybody seen a goat in person? But okay, a lot of people have. Goats are cute. But there's two goats in this story, and it's very specific what happens with and to these goats in the Torah. If you turn to Leviticus 16, we're going to start with verse 5 tonight. And just to set it up, what's going on here is Aaron, you know, Aaron had four sons. The first two were killed before the Lord because of unauthorized fire. That was a few chapters before this. So what happens is, at the beginning of Leviticus 16, God speaks to Aaron and he tells him, "You are not just to come before me at any time and in any way. Certainly not with unauthorized fire or whatever specifically was going on with Nadab and Abihu. But you must approach me in a holy way. You must approach me in a consecrated way." And very specifically, we have the story now of two goats. Picking it up in Leviticus 16, starting with verse 5. "And he," this is Aaron, this is the high priest, "he shall take from the congregation of the people of Israel two male goats for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering for himself, and shall make atonement for himself and for his house." So that had to happen first. Verse 7, "Then he shall take the two goats and set them before the Lord at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots over the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for Azazel." So this is very unique, this is very specific, and this is only happening here at the time of Yom Kippur. The two goats, it says, must be identical, but they would have two distinct purposes, and it would be casting lots to decide what purpose each of these two goats would have. The text in Leviticus 16 actually goes back and forth between the two goats, so I'm just going to be going through, and it's a short message tonight. Because I know we're all, well, maybe we're not starting to get hungry yet. Maybe that's going to happen in a couple hours. So, but it'll be a little bit of a short message tonight so we can kind of get home and get some rest and prepare ourselves for another service tomorrow. But these goats, we have to just talk about these goats for a minute because their lives and their destinies really are intertwined. But what we're going to see about these two goats is they both symbolize, they both have a shadowing of the Messiah, specifically our Messiah Yeshua. We're going to look at that. Looking at the first goat, Leviticus 16, verse 9, "And Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord," this is the first goat, "and use it as a sin offering." Now, the goat would be an offering made on the altar as a sacrifice for the people's sins. The sacrificial system was built and based on blood being shed. That was all what the Torah was about, the sacrificial system was about, the Levitical priesthood was about, as an atonement for sin, to forgive and annul the sins of Israel before the Lord. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, let's go there. We're going through the book of Hebrews, and as I mentioned yesterday during the Shabbat service when we're going through Hebrews, I mentioned that that book, this book, Hebrews, is very specific towards Yom Kippur and how we see Yeshua as a priest, but we see Yeshua as the sacrifice and as the high priest. And Hebrews 9:22, we're in Hebrews 10, so we just read this shortly before. Hebrews 9:22 says this, "Indeed, under the Torah, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." This is very important to remember. Now we go back to Leviticus 16, verses 15 and 16. We continue to talk about the first goat. Then, verse 15 of Leviticus 16, "Then he shall kill the goat," this is the high priest, "of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, sprinkling it over the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Now let's stop right there for a second. The mercy seat, what is that? That is the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. That is, and the Ark of the Covenant is what had the two tablets from Sinai on it. The mercy seat was on top, the cherubim were on top of that, and between the two cherubim where their wings touched, that was in the Holy of Holies. This is happening in the Holy of Holies. In the Holy of Holies, the only day was when the high priest could go in to that inner room in the temple or the tabernacle and commune with God and bring the sins of the people of Israel on his chest, the 12 tribes represented by 12 stones, on his chest before the Lord and make atonement. And this is all happening in the Holy of Holies, where the mercy seat was, in front of the mercy seat. We'll continue, verse 16. Then he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanliness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall do for the tent of meeting, which dwells with them in the midst of the uncleanliness. So this first goat was killed. Its blood was sprinkled all over the place in there. And its body was burned outside the camp. We read that in verse 27, but I'm not going to go there. Very specific. Everything had to be covered with blood. First, Aaron had to be cleansed from his sins. Then he had to make atonement for the sins of the people and the furnishings inside the tabernacle, and then later the temple. Everything had to be covered with blood, sprinkled with blood, and therefore be made cleaned. We talked about that recently. Cleansed, and then atonement is made for the people. And that's the first goat. Now we go to the second goat, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 10. But the goat on which the lot fell for Azazel shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement over it, that it may be sent away into the wilderness to Azazel. Now, there's the goat, this particular goat, is it said it's for Azazel or it is the Azazel? It's sort of a mysterious thing, especially the name Azazel. The meaning of the word is really unknown to us. Some scholars believe it's a compound word and it means goat and going away, the goat that goes away because the goat is sent away alive with the sins of the people of Israel on it, and it goes out into the wilderness, never to be seen again. Some people say, well, Azazel could be a word for the devil, you know, the enemy, the one that opposes God, but we really don't know the origins of this word, but this particular goat was set aside for that particular purpose. Let's continue with the Leviticus text, Leviticus 16, 20 and 21. And when he has made an end of atoning for the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he then shall present the live goat, goat number two. Verse 21, and Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. Now, can you imagine this scene of this goat and the high priest representing all of Israel, putting his hand on the head of the goat, sending the goat away? And I'm envisioning here, you know, we went through the confessions, the vidui, the small confession, you know, ashamnu, the larger confession, the alchet for the sins that we've committed. And I can imagine the high priest saying aloud all of these sins. For the sin that we committed because of our offensive speech, for the sin we committed because we did not take care of our fellow man, all of those sins confessed, just as we did tonight, confessed onto that live goat. There wasn't any type of magical transfer. It was symbolic that that goat, that animal would be sacrificed, would be sent away with the sins carried on it, taken from us, and put on that second goat for Azazel and sent away. So there was confession, there was repentance, there was a crying out for God to forgive. There is a verse that a thing I want to read here, a quote from the oldest part of the Talmud. Now the Talmud is a very ancient writing. The Mishnah is the first part of the Talmud, and then the commentary is called the Gemara, but the Mishnah was really written down around between 200 and 500 AD, but it was oral for a long time before that. And so even at the time of Yeshua, there were these things floating around that the sages were talking about, like Hillel and Shammai, which was a generation before Yeshua. Well, in the oldest part of the Talmud, in the Mishnah, Yoma 4:2, it says this, quote, this is something related to Yom Kippur, and you can hear the cry of our people here. It says this, quote, "Please God, I have sinned, I have done wrong, I have rebelled before you. I and my family and the children of Aaron, your sacred people, please, God, grant atonement. Please, for the sins, for all the wrongs, for the rebellions that I have sinned and done wrong and rebelled before you, I and my family and the children of Aaron, your sacred people," end quote. This is the heart of true confession. So here we have it, repentance combined with a transferring of our sins to the scapegoat. Azazel is also called the scapegoat. You've obviously heard of that term before. It's in our vernacular. But that is the scapegoat. And what is a scapegoat? It's someone who takes the fall for us, for somebody else. That scapegoat took away our sins historically. This is a picture to us of Messiah Yeshua. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. There is a section in Isaiah 53, very messianic book and very messianic chapter, 52-53, where it talks about a suffering servant who takes on the iniquities, who takes on the sins of our people. And it says this in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all," much like the Azazel. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Let's go there. 1 Peter. "He himself," talking about Messiah Yeshua, "bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed," which is a reference back to in the Tanakh, in the Jewish Old Testament, the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. So we see this picture of the two goats, a foreshadowing of Messiah Yeshua. Blood is shed, both goats ultimately die. And the blood makes atonement. The blood of the goats makes atonement. The first goat was sacrificed and its blood was shed in the area where the people were, in the tabernacle, in the temple. Yeshua died on the tree and his blood was shed. The second goat had the sins of the people put on it and then was cast out, cast away. Yeshua had the sins of all humanity put upon him on the tree, and he was cast away at that point. I'm not going to have you turn, but I'm going to read the first verse of Psalm 22, which has been known amongst our people for centuries as a messianic psalm. And it says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning?" It's as if the Azazel, if they could speak, they could say that because they had been had the sins of all of Israel put on them. And Yeshua said this when he was on the tree, when he had the sins of all Israel and all mankind put upon him. These were the words that he said upon the tree, quoting from Psalm 22, verse 1. We see Yeshua as the ultimate fulfillment of the two goats. Not one, not the second one, both of the goats. Yeshua is our scapegoat, Yeshua is our blood atonement, and Yeshua is our Yom Kippur sacrifice for sins. And we, as we're believers in Yeshua, we understand this, we know this, we can see this, we read about this, but we have to understand the context. He is representing these two goats. He is representing all the sins of our people for all time. All the sins of a fallen humanity that has separated themselves, that has chosen all of those sins for the sins that we committed. God, in his mercy and his compassion, do unto us mercy and compassion. We just sang that, Avinu Malkenu, our Father and our King. Yeshua has come as the sacrifice for our sins. Then, 2,000 years ago, today on this Yom Kippur and for all time. Let's pray. God of Israel, God of all creation, Avinu Malkenu, our Father and our King, we thank you, God, because In your mercy, you have heard our cries tonight. Lord, as we beat our chest symbolically, as we confess all of these sins, as we come before you, not worthy to come before you, but understanding that it's only because of the blood from the goats and the blood of the shed animal that we can come before you historically. And today we say it's only because of the blood of Yeshua, who died for us, who fulfilled hundreds of prophecies in the Tanakh, and when he comes again, will fulfill even more. He is the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. He is the one who cried out, my God, to you, Lord, to Father. And I just pray that you would open all of our eyes to see it in a pure and clear way, how Yeshua is both of these goats. He represents both. He is the true picture of the Kippurah, the atonement and the covering for our sins on this Yom Kippur and on every day for all time. We thank you, God, because we know that our names are written in the book of life through the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of Israel, our people, and the sins of all humanity. And we thank you and praise you, and it's in Yeshua's name that we pray. Amen and amen.